We're going to try to pick it up with Exodus 26, and I think we went through some on verse 36. We're going to pick up with verse number 37. And before we get started, I want to say again, we're talking about the tabernacle, and I've given you the verses before, but there's a lot of types in the Bible, types and pictures, and this tabernacle is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ according to verses like Hebrews 10:20. It's a type of a Christian, according to 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and verse 4, and the type of creation or the universe, according to Hebrews chapter 1, I believe it's verse 10 and 11. There's other verses in there talking about how the universe is a type of this tabernacle, three parts to it. You got, you got the first heaven where the birds fly, the second heaven where the stars are, and the third heaven where God is. And you got three parts of that tabernacle. And in this tabernacle typing, you've got the court, and then you've got the holy place, and you've got the most holy place. Okay, so you got on this outer court, we're going to be talking about the brazen altar today, and then you go into the holy place, and then you got the most holy place, and so also. With the tabernacle of man, the Apostle Paul calls our body a tabernacle. Now, you've got that three parts. You've got a body, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, a soul and a spirit. But the Bible talks about how the proper order is spirit, soul, and body. Now, if you ever hear anybody preaching, I've done this myself. The body wants to come first so bad that whenever you quote that verse, you'll say your whole body, soul, and spirit. Mm-hmm. But the verse says your whole spirit, soul, and body. Now, the reason you've got these things is like, for instance, the body, there's gates to the inside of you. And this body right here, you've got the sight gate, the smell gate, the hearing gate, the taste gate, and the touch gate. And to get to the soul, the devil has to get into one of these gates to get down in there. So the devil works from the outside in, whereas God works from the inside out. That's how come you can't go by your ears and your eyes and your touch and your taste and your smell and things like that above the inner workings of God. Now, here's some of the stuff how it works. I'm just telling you, so much in this tabernacle, we could talk about it for... That's why I'm trying to go through it slower than what a lot of people do. Not to say they're not... not to say they're bad teachers or anything, but a lot of times you listen to it, they just breeze right through it. So we're going through it kind of slower. But here comes the devil in Genesis chapter 3. You've got a physical tree. So he appeals to that physical thing to get on the inside of them. Now that's what the devil's going to do to you. He's going to appeal to your physical senses and try to get to our feelings to try to get on the inside of us, whereas God works from the inside out. That's why the Lord will deal with you with words. He don't deal with you with pictures. He deals with you with words. Why? So the word comes from the inside, and he'll paint the picture in a pure way, the way it should be. And see, the devil, he's got the perfect medium. That's one reason why TV, you have to be careful with that TV. It's the perfect balance between music and pictures and words and pictures. See, the devil has to have, he likes to counterfeit the Lord. So he'll put a picture in your mind, and that thing will stimulate you from the outside to get inside, on the inside. So whenever we're dealing with some of these things in the tabernacle, you're going to see all kind of applications in there, spiritual application that helps us understand life better. Because this body's like a tabernacle. You think about that tabernacle out there in the wilderness. It's in the wilderness, but you had a godly thing right there in the middle of that wilderness. Guess what? It was in the world, but it wasn't of the world. That thing said it was made after a pattern from heaven. So it was literally in the world, in that wilderness, dry, barren wilderness. Well, you know what? We're saved, and guess what? We're in this world, not of it. Why? We're a new creature. Well, how's that? This old sinful body has got the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. That's something otherworldly right there.
Amen.
And that's how come you can't think You can't think the same way as someone else does who's lost. That's why the lost world, look, it's getting more definite as we get closer to the coming of the Lord. The lost world is on a completely different path than you are. Now, the lost world is on a zigzag path. Why? The serpent. You ever seen a snake? I tell you what, that's a majestic thing, man. That serpent will go like this right here. They get in our driveway and them snakes will do like this right here. And you just look at that thing and think, how is it doing that? It's going straight, but it's going crooked at the same time. You can't figure that thing out. That's what Proverbs tell you. You can't find the way of a serpent. You ever seen the way of this world? One way, they're going like this right here. And that's why if you follow the politics, many ticks, politics, bunch of blood suckers. Well, what do they do? They just suck the life out of you. So what is that? You watch them and you say, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? That's that way of that serpent. So you know what we're supposed to do on that straight and narrow? And you know what we're supposed to do? Let God work from the inside out. Why? On the inner man. Why? That's that Holy Spirit is supposed to work on the inside. So we see things like this. Now we're going to read some things about this tabernacle. And I'll finish up verse 37. It says, "And thou shalt make for the hanging 5 pillars of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast 5 sockets of brass for them." So here's these pillars, and they go in sockets of brass. Now, do you know that people can be like pillars? Some people are strong like a pillar. I'm gonna give you a verse quickly here in Galatians 2:9. I gotta give you 2 things on this. Listen to this verse. And Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship." Now, he said those guys were like pillars. Now, they go in the socket of brass. Now, brass is strong. I mean, if y'all have ever dealt with brass, that is a strong material. Now, you know what the Bible says in Revelation 1:15, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's a good base for you. You know what feet are? Feet are our base for us. All right? "And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace." All right? You know what? That strong brass, those pillars go down in that strong brass. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ is? He's our strong foundation. That's a picture. That's a picture there of the Lord being your strong foundation. Now, you know what's wrong with so many people in this world? They don't have a strong foundation. I know if y'all are anything like me, some of the junk that goes on in this world makes you so mad you can't see straight. If you let it by. But you know what? If you've got a strong foundation, you may have all kind of trouble on top of the foundation, but the foundation under you is not going anywhere. You read over there in Matthew 7. I think that's fascinating how the Bible says a storm came, and the storm, it says, all right, the Bible said, all right, some of them had their foundation was on sand. All right, it said the storm came and just washed them away. But the other one, their foundation was on a rock. Well, you know what the interesting thing about that is? Both of them were in a storm. But the ones... So the storm's coming to all of us. We're going to have storms in life. But the ones who stay is the ones who have a firm, strong foundation. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do? He's not that he's going to keep you from going through storms. He's going to keep you able and strong and firm through the storm. The rest of them, foundation, going to be gone out from under. The last thing you want to do is get your foundation knocked out from under you. I was taking a class in college one time, and this guy, he knew jiu-jitsu and taekwondo, and which I always liked Wing Chun, because I got that little Wing Chun dumb at the house. I've always thought that's fun. But anyway, this one guy, he was, you know how guys, they'll try one another and everything. And you know what this guy did? He just stepped like this right here, and took that right foot and knocked his feet right out from under him. Foundation knocked his foundation out from under. And he thought he was so tough. You know what's wrong with so many people? They think they're strong. And guess what? The world just comes in, knocks their foundation right out from under.
That's right.
Well, you know what? When the Lord Jesus, I tell you something, you try to kick a pillar or something made out of brass, you try to kick a foundation of brass, you kick that thing, you're blue in the face, it's not going to go anywhere. Now you know what you're going to do if you're like that pillar in that brass socket. When you get kicked, you'll stand around. You'll stay there. Why? You're in the socket of Christ. See, I like that. Well, you know what I want to be? I thank God I'm planted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good picture right there. Now we'll start chapter 27, verse 1. It says, "And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be," I like this, "four square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. Now, take your Bible and turn to 2 Chronicles. Hold your place there, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 4. And I know that if y'all got a reference Bible like mine, I've got this reference Bible here, and it's got a cross reference to 2 Chronicles 4. Now, the thing is about these cross reference Bibles, they'll give you the cross reference and then just kind of take for granted that you figure it out what it is. Like a lot of times, it'll send me to a cross reference and sometimes I'll put a question mark by it. And it may be 5 years before I learn enough Bible to figure out why they cross-referenced it. Because there's several places. I'm like, why in the world they cross-reference this? This don't even have nothing to do with the subject. Sometimes I've even thought that they sit and put the wrong cross-reference in there. And then I think, oh, okay, now I realize. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 4, watch this. Look at verse 1. This is Solomon. And Solomon is going to build him an altar. The Bible says, "Moreover, he made an altar of brass, 20 cubits the length thereof." That's a lot bigger than the one we're reading about. It says, "And 20 cubits the breadth thereof, and 10 cubits the height thereof." Now, isn't that a whole lot larger than the one Moses had built? Now, you ever thought about that? What's the difference? Moses was in a time of warfare. He was in an unsettled condition. He was in a wilderness. They had continual travel. They were full of troubles. And they couldn't conveniently carry that altar about because it would have been too large. I mean, that's just too large an altar. But you think about this. Here's Solomon. You know what Solomon's name means? Peace. Solomon is a huge type of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody had more wisdom than Solomon. Nobody's going to be more wise than Lord Jesus Christ when he's ruling and reigning. Kings came from all over to come and hear the wisdom of Solomon. In the millennial reign, kings are going to come from all over to come and see the Lord Jesus Christ and hear his wisdom. And I'm going to tell you something. The Queen of Sheba saw Solomon and everything he had up there and his servants and all the sitting at the table and all the stuff. And she said, "The half hadn't been told me." You know what that's a picture of? In the millennium, whenever they get to the Lord Jesus Christ and see him and see his servants and see how rich he is and all the blessings that's about him and all the servants he has and everything else, you know what? They're going to say, "The half hadn't been told." He was a time of peace. Now, why did I say that? Solomon, All that quietness that was around about him, he was peace and everything else. Now you think about that right there. He was able to have a larger altar for sacrifice. Why? He was in time of peace. You know what that tells me? If you are in a time of peace and tranquility of your life, we should have more room for sacrifice on our altar. Mm-hmm. You know what? We go through times and we see people in turmoil and stuff. And I tell you something, sometimes we go through turmoil in our life. And look, you don't have as much time. You don't have your life. You're like Moses. He had a smaller altar for sacrifice. He was going here and going there and doing this. And man, they was in that wilderness. They just didn't have the ability to have such an altar. Why? Because they weren't in a time of peace like Solomon. Now, you know what I've learned to do? I've learned to do this. When I'm in a time of peace, I better be making me some sacrifices while I can. I got my bills paid and stuff like that. Maybe getting to where I can pour more into the godly things and stuff like that. You know what I've learned? Whenever I've got more time on my hands, I better be putting more on my altar of sacrifice while I'm sacrificing more time and marking more stuff in my Bible and keeping more notes in my notebooks and stuff like that, and making sure I've got some topics of sermons as to why, because the time's coming maybe when I won't have such room to be able to carry about such an altar for sacrifice. Why? Because I've got battles going on and I'm going here and going there and barren. I may be in a wilderness time. I may be in a season where I just can't have such a large altar because I don't have as much peace in my life at that time. Solomon had a whole lot of peace in his life and he was able to build a way more massive altar. Now you know what we got to realize? I wish younger people would realize, hey, I'm in a peaceful time right now. My bills are paid. I'm in a place right now to where I've got a lot more time on my hands and stuff like that. I think younger ones in our generation ought to be told, you better be studying your Bible right now. You better be learning some things right now that'll help you. You better be gaining some wisdom from some of these older ones. Better be learning how to work right now. Better be, why? Because the time's going to come when you're so busy trying to pay bills and trying to have a family and trying to get everything done that needs to be done. You got to get up early in the morning. You got to work. Look, if nothing else, for most of us, 5 days a week, 10 hours of your day at least are spoken for. Most of us sleep 8 hours. That don't leave a whole lot for much other stuff. I mean, by the time you factor in eating, by the time you factor in all the little stuff you do, there's not a whole lot of other time to be sacrificing. You see what I mean? That's why I'm telling you, when you are in a peaceful time, make good use of that altar. You can build a bigger altar like Solomon did. And you got that time on your hand. You're able to. The Bible talks about how many. In one place, I think it said they couldn't even count how many sacrifices they just sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed. Why? Because he was in a time of peace in his life.
Amen.
You know one thing this country right here did? It had years and years and years of predominant peace. Yeah, we had this going on, that going on. You know what's happening? The more sin that enters in, the less peace.
Amen.
You know what? One reason why the Bible tells you to pray for all kings and those that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
Amen.
You know what's the best thing for people to come up? The gospel gets out better in times of peace. When a war's going on and stuff, you don't have time to go out here and preach the gospel and stuff like that like we once did. You know what we better do? Be building great big old altars of sacrifice. Like, why? Because we're still at a time of relative peace. Even though it's a lot of unrest, we still better be getting some great big old altars out and getting some stuff done for the Lord while we can. Why? And putting as much on that sacrificial altar as we can. Why? As we get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to get to where you're going to be in the wilderness. You're not going to be able to sacrifice as much on that altar. Why? We're going to be like Moses, running around, having to pick this up, have to pick up and go here and pick up and go there. Why? You get to the place, you just don't have as much peace to be able to do as much sacrificing. That's one thing about this altar. The Bible talked about it was an altar of brass. And now I want you to see something. If a lot of y'all have got that thing on that tabernacle, you had this outer court like this right here, and when you came into that thing, you know the first thing that was seen by the sinner was the altar of sacrifice. You know what that lets me know? You think about this. They walk in there and they see this bloody sacrifice. I mean, it ain't no telling what all. Look, I mean, you think about it. All these innocent sacrifices being sacrificed on that thing. And here they are. They type the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that's a picture of? Before you can have fellowship with the Lord, you got to see that you need an innocent sacrifice. You're talking about some simple truths. You know what's wrong with so much of this world today? They don't see themselves a sinner enough to realize somebody needs to die for them. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is a picture of that. Why, over and over and over, all throughout the Bible, those things, God was putting it through, you need a sacrifice, you need a sacrifice, you need a sacrifice. All through the Bible. Now, you think about, here's the verse right here, and I'm going to make sure I give you the right one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 21 to you. And this is a familiar verse, but it needs to be known. The Bible says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us." You know what those sacrifices were? They were made sin. That sin was imputed that in it. Look, that lamb didn't do anything. Or that sacrifice that was placed on that altar, that altar that was burning, that thing didn't do anything. Innocent. So you know what they had to realize? He had made Him be sin for us. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So here they are, and they're getting up here and saying, "Now here's this animal. This thing didn't do anything. I'm about to put this animal on here, and it's about to burn for me." Now you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't do anything. Nothing. And here He is. He goes up there, and He takes my beating. Goes to a monkey trial court. He was innocent, so much so that Pilate said, "I have nothing to do with this just man. This man's innocent." I think three times he said he was innocent. Man, you talking about double jeopardy? I mean, that man was innocent, and everybody knew he was innocent. Now, you know, it's all the way back here. He knew that was a picture of Him doing that. Y'all, that's fundamental. That is what hell, fire, hell. You know what people don't, what they say? They say, "Man, I tell you what, old so-and-so, I really don't like him. He's hellfire and brimstone." You know who coined the phrase hellfire? The Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read a verse to you. The Bible says in Mark 9:47, "If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes be cast into hell fire." The first person ever said hell fire together was the Lord Jesus Christ. And you talking about hell fire. You know what? All you got to do if you want to appreciate your salvation, and you talking about make you have a good day, study hell for a little while. You go through the Bible and study hell, I'm going to tell you something, man. I don't like to get burned. I there's a lot of things I don't mind doing, but two things I don't want to do. I don't want to burn and I don't want to drown. And I got the main one taken care of, burn. I'm going to tell you something, man. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered our hell on the cross. You talking about burning and not just one, but the sin of the whole world.
Amen.
I'm gonna tell you something. That's awful. Do you imagine? I'm just telling you this just to kind of show you. Hear this thing we're gonna read about, all this stuff being set up to show them something. I can't stand the thought of not being able to get out of something. Mm-hmm. I don't like the thought of being on the elevator, can't get out or nothing. But y'all, the fact that some people are going to die without the Lord Jesus Christ and go to everlasting burning, mm-hmm, and can't get out. You know one of the worst things about hell, people say, "Well, I'll tell you what, the worst thing about hell," people going to say, "Well, I'm separated from God." No, no, no. Mm-hmm. They don't care anything about God now.
Right.
They're gonna go to hell. They don't care that they don't know God right now. You know what they're gonna be upset about is the fact that they're burning.
Amen.
Now, you know what I like when I read my Bible? You talking about making me want to run, jump, and shout. An innocent Savior died in my place. And if you're saved, you've trusted Christ, you can appreciate the fact that an innocent Savior died in your place, and you'll never have to go to a burning lake of fire.
Amen.
People say, "Well, if hell's hell, and in the lake of fire is a lake of fire, how can you call the lake of fire hell?" Because one of these days, hell is going to be dumped into the lake of fire. So you can still call it hell. I'm going to tell you this right here. I thank God I'm saved. You know, some of these people say, well, yes, all you talk about is thank God you're saved. You say, thank God I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. And I'll stand up here and preach, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
It never gets old to me. I tell you this, the older I get and the more I realize this old flesh body one of these days is going to kick off one, because you just want to sin. The flesh wants to sin.
Amen.
And I'll kick this thing off one of these days, man. I won't never have to worry about sin ever again. Man, you're talking about salvation. Look, I'm saved. I was saved from the power of sin whenever I trusted Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the penalty of sin.
Amen.
But one of these days I'll be saved from the presence of sin. I won't ever have to sin against my Lord again. Y'all, that's a blessing. Why? Because of this right here. It started right here. This is showing you an innocent substitute.
Amen.
Man, that's preaching right. I'm going to tell you, that thing right there, you think about this right here. The innocent one died for the guilty one. That's the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is our altar. He is our altar.
Amen.
Now, man, I'll never get through all this. Here's the thing I want you to think about. The Bible said, and you talk about the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, He's God. All right. The Bible said in Matthew 23:19, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me see if I can put this together just right. In Matthew, let's see, 23, I believe it was verse 19. Yeah, it says, ye fools and blind, he's talking to the Sadducees and Pharisees, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? He's saying the altar is greater than the sacrifice. Why? Because without the altar, it don't even matter what you sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ is the altar for your sacrifice. You know what we do? We're supposed to our bodies, we're supposed to offer our bodies a reasonable sacrifice to the Lord. Well, you can. There's people who sacrifice their bodies off. People strap themselves to bombs and everything else, and these Muslims and things like that. They blow. Look, but without an altar, without the Lord Jesus Christ, people can sacrifice their life, man. People pour their lives into their businesses. People pour their lives into causes. People pour their lives into feeding the poor. People pour their lives into all kinds of charity. But without an altar, it's no good. You know what? We've got an altar. We got an altar. Once you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you are literally, when you sacrifice something, offer the sacrifice, the praise of your lips, because the altar is greater than the sacrifice, what you sacrifice is worth sacrificing. You're putting it on that altar. It's wonderful. Look, you think about that thing right there. In this text, in verse number 2, it says, and thou shalt make the horns of it upon the four corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. So that four square is defined by the four corners there. And in the Bible, you follow that four corners. Isaiah 11:12, Acts 11:5, Revelation 7:1. That's talking about the four corners of the earth. Oftentimes, you know, in Acts chapter 11, the Lord in chapter 10, the Lord had showed Peter. He said, "Look, there's a sheet laid down." He said, "It's going to be on the four corners of the earth," because he's having to show him, "Look, I'm about to go to the Gentile. I'm about to go to the whole world." Now, here's this altar right here. And it's got these horns, and on the four corners thereof, it says His horns. That's strange why it says His horns, giving it living characteristic, shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. All right, now you think about this right here. That all that blood and everything else that got on those horns, and horns has to do in the Bible with power and authority. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. It calls the Antichrist a little horn. Why? Because he's a ruler. All right, so that blood's getting on that on those horns, on those four corners, and it's dripping down onto the earth. You know what that's showing? God's going to, He's going to sacrifice for all the world. All the world. All that way back there in the Bible, thousands of years ago, guess what? Way before the Lord ever came. You know what that's showing me? God put that together. You know what that tells me? When you're spending time with that book right there, there's little things all in it. I'm just showing you. Oftentimes we forget the majesty. We forget what all is just right here in within our fingertips right here. You know what? Every answer we need, every answer to mankind, and all the answers that men are looking for are right there. Just riches. A book. People nowadays, I don't know what the deal is with all this interest with otherworldly stuff. People just talking about, man, these UFOs and all this stuff, and they getting online stuff. Who cares, man? Well, I'm saved. Does it matter? People talk about all this. Look, I've got another worldly book right here, and this is something that I know for a fact from the other side. All the answers right here.
Amen.
Don't even have to get out there and worry about all this. Well, I'm saved.
Yes, right.
And man, I've got all the answers mankind needs right here. And man, the world's just, they're so worried about stuff they don't know, they even knows about. Whenever you could, you know what that is? That's the devil trying to get people interested in anything but the Bible. And you know what people are doing? Buying a hook, line, and sinker. People talk to you till you're blue in the face about Bigfoot. I don't care nothing about Bigfoot. Who cares, man? I mean, I got a Bible right here. And look, what I'm trying to show you is, he's showing you way back then. That's him reaching his arms out, the horn, the most power there is, reaching out to all corners of the earth right there, way back here in the Bible. Here's another thing too. Now I hope I've got the sheet there. But you had the outer court and all that stuff, and then you got what did I do with that sheet? I just had it. I done got talking so much. I want to make sure I explain that right. Here it is. Oh, sorry about that. All right. So you got this outer court, and then whenever you get in, you got the holy place. Then you got the most holy place. Now you think about this right here. You had to go in the one thing to get into other things, but now. You've got that bread on the inside. You got the candlestick on the inside. Then you had the altar of incense on the inside. But you couldn't get to any of that unless you had the brazen altar right there. Unless you had that altar of sacrifice, it wouldn't do you any good. None of that stuff does you any good. You know what's wrong with most of the world? They hadn't came to the first place in the first. That's why they don't think anything about what you think. They're not gonna think like you do. Why? It's not precious to them because they hadn't came to the first most important place. It's so simple. People stumble. You could talk about salvation, man. Some of the people make it so hard. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul said, I'm afraid some people corrupt you from the simplicity of Christ. They try to do everything in the world, man. Why? Put their hands in it. Put their hands in it. You know what? All you got to do is just come to Him and He'll freely get... But that's the hardest part. They won't humble themselves to come to the Lord. So you know what? That's why the bread, the table... The Bible says the Word of God is bread. Well, they're not going to come to the bread for answers because they never came to the first place. They're not going to care anything about the candlestick, the shed light on the bread, the Holy Spirit, and say, well, what do you think the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you? The first place isn't taken care of. You get some of these folks, man, lost as a needle in a stack of needles. And you can tell, and you know what we're doing? Until they come to the first place and realize, hey, you have got to have a substitute. The rest of it's not going to make a bit of difference. You know why y'all even care about church? You ever thought about that? Why in the world do I even care anyway? You got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that's able to shed light on that Bible because you came to the first place first. So that's why this thing, when you get to reading about this, that's why this thing here is when you enter into that outer court, the very first thing you see is that brazen altar. Why? You need a substitute. You need a sacrifice. Look, that's why otherwise that tabernacle was and this whole thing had to do with how to have fellowship with an Almighty God. You know what? If you got that, you got the means. If you came and had your substitute, you got the means to have fellowship with Almighty God. Some of these people, God told me so-and-so. He didn't tell me, I've got fellowship with God, I'm going to go find out what He said myself. All I've got to do to find out what He said myself is right here, and God wouldn't contradict His Word. You got some of these people, God told me, He told you to do something. I don't know anything about this stuff. Wow, that goes on a lot. A lot of these so-called preachers, they'll get up here and they'll say, I've got a word from God. If it's not coming out of that Bible, you don't. Wow, a whole lot of lies going on.
Right.
And people get up there and they'll tell you all, and people go off out there and do no telling what. People say, well, God told me He's calling you to the mission field. Well, if He don't tell me, I ain't going.
Amen.
I can tell you why. You get out there and if God didn't call you, that'd be the worst mistake. Get your finger telling me people's got their family out there on a mission field and they ain't even called to go. Why? Because look, you better go by the book. You get stability here. But the only reason we even got that stability is because you came to the first place. I've got my substitute. Now I've got access to all the other. A lot of these people don't have any access. They just make out like they got access. But anyway, now here's you think about this too. Here's another thing. Not everybody who entered the court entered the tabernacle. A lot of people got in the court. But if you don't do what it said, when you come in there, if you don't have that sacrifice, you can be in there, but you're not going to get any further. Ain't no telling how many people. I'm telling you. I've heard it preached, but it's so. It's so. There's no telling how many people are going to go to hell from a church pew. Going to go to hell from sitting while they're going to sit there for year after year after year. They're going to sit right there lost and die and go to hell lost. Why? Because you can come to church all you want to. You can go to that. You can go right there at the entrance all you want to. But if you don't get the substitute, you will not get any further.
Right.
You know what? A lot of people have heard sermons. A lot of people have heard so many sermons, they're dead to them. You can preach on hell. You can preach heaven sweet and hell hot. Heaven beautiful and the Lord Jesus Christ sweet and the innocent Savior and all this stuff, and they can sit right there and absorb it in. And I ain't been preaching a long time, but I've been preaching long enough to know this right here. I've seen them sit there in those pews, and I've seen them leaning forward Sunday, and you know what happens? I'm telling you, they'll sit back a little bit further, and they'll sit back a little bit further, and before long they can sit there and watch you preach. And sit there and won't pay a bit of attention. Get up and walk out and shake your hand and say, have a good week. Why? Because it don't bother them anymore. Why? A lot of people who entered didn't go any further. I'll try to close with this fine. This man, I don't know. I just can't believe I didn't get no further than that right there. Man, I tell you what we're gonna do. We're gonna stop right there at 7:30. But y'all be. I appreciate y'all, man. It's just a lot in that Bible. Look,
amen.
Y'all, I'm fascinated with how you can get in there. And I know some stuff's simple, but the simple truths are the fundamentals are what you need. The fundamentals are what's going to keep you going. Back when we was playing football and stuff, you know what? Beginning of the year. Coach Mitchell and a few more of them, you know what they do? They start back over and they say, all right, we're going to go right back over the fundamentals again, and then we'll build off the fundamentals. If you got the fundamentals down, the rest of stuff's fun and it's important, but those fundamental truths are what's going to give you the stability you need to get through anything that comes. And we'll close out. Brother Kerry, if you could, close us out.